Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim has given good news to the believers, to the mu'mineen. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah ta'ala says, O my servants, people of belief, of iman, I am pleased with you. I am razi with you. I am pleased with you. I have become pleased. My rada is with you. The mu'mineen, the believers, when we see that a person is dying, the mu'mineen, when the believer is dying and the angels are extracting his ruh from his body and from Allah Ta'ala, this good news comes that mu'mineen, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. Then a person, when he is wrapped in the shroud and when he is lowered into the grave, the deceased, and from Allah Ta'ala comes the announcement, the call, that O mu'mineen, O believer, O mu'min, O my servant, I am pleased with you. Then when a person will be extracted from the grave on the day of Hashr, different conditions, different situations from the hadith, we see how people will arise from their grave, how they will rise up from the grave. Some people's faces will be disfigured. Some people will be such that their faces will be opposite to the normal direction. Some people will have curse on their face. Some people will be in such a way that like a bad curse has come onto them. They'll be in such a severe, extreme condition. And there'll be some mu'mins who will come and get up from their graves. Allah Ta'ala will say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, Oh, my servant, I'm pleased with you. My servant, I'm pleased with you. On the day of Hashr, on the day of resurrection, all of the people from the beginning of time to the end of time will be gathered, assembled, and all the people will be in their own situation and condition, like we read in the ahadith. There will be people who will be distressed, in difficulty, with problems. There will be severe heat. People will be immersed in their sweat, drowned in their sweat. Nobody will know about their condition, their situation. And there, to the special mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala will announce, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Oh, my servants, do not worry, I am pleased with you. People are in a severe condition, but I am pleased with you. And people will be standing, waiting for the accounting, for the reckoning, that what is the decision for me. The scale will be brought out. And every single deed, people will be running after to collect, try to get deeds. And there will be nafsi, oh myself, nobody else can I help. Nobody will recognize anyone, no relative will assist any other relative. And in those conditions, in that time, Allah Ta'ala will address certain unique people. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do not worry, I am pleased with you. Subhanallah. And the trend continues. The bridge of Sarat, people will be crossing the bridge of Sarat. It will be darkness. Darkness will have gripped everybody. And it will be very dark. And the bridge of Sirat will be very thin as a hair, sharp as a sword. How will people be crossing the bridge of Sirat? When they look down, they'll see the pit of Jahannam, hellfire. And a special select group of people, Allah Ta'ala will call out to them, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do not worry, I am pleased with you. So you have these phases, such events, such conditions, such things that will befall all of us. And if the announcement keeps on coming to us that I am pleased with you, I am pleased with you, I am pleased with you. And if Allah Ta'ala is pleased with somebody, then how easily that person will pass through all of the phases, from the life to the death to the hereafter. Will he have any fikr, any worry, any distress, any concern? How great will be those people? They will be mu'mineen. That what iman they will have, what belief they will have, and what a'mal they will have. I'm not telling you a story. These are ahadith. These are hadith. If we understand this today, then tomorrow these opportunities in the world will come in use to us. I'm speaking for understanding. If Allah Ta'ala instills this into our mind, understanding, alhamdulillah, people, they become very fortunate after hearing such good talks and discussion like this. If these words descend into somebody's heart, alhamdulillah, there's no guarantee of time. This is no guarantee that it'll be a special select gathering that you will attain tawbah. Sometimes you get to a small gathering, less people, and no fanfare, but Allah Ta'ala allows the good words to come into your heart. So when he hears the call from Allah that, go, I am pleased with you, how happy and fortunate will that person be? Allah Ta'ala's fadl, his blessings and karam and mercy, Allah Ta'ala drags us towards his rahmah. So our eyes open, our hearts open, and our life becomes better. So what amal, what deed will these people have performed that in every phase Allah Ta'ala will have said to these believers that, go, O my believer, I am pleased with you. What a great piece of good news. Allah Ta'ala will give encouragement to the maximum. Look, we're in the grave. A person, if he goes to get buried, you look into the grave and you start, your hairs stand on end. That, look, I'm going to go into this ditch, into this grave, is dark, that tight. And after that, when you peep down, it's even tighter. And then when a person who's actually descends into this dead person, it's tighter for him. And then you throw the soil upon that person. And this will happen to us. This will happen to us. So Allah Ta'ala, if He says to that person, as soon as the soil is thrown and they turn around and the people leave your graveyard, and it's the darkness of the grave the first night, and Allah Ta'ala calls, oh my servant, go forth, I am pleased with you. Will that stay a grave? No, doesn't matter. People in the billions would say, please let me have that condition. And if you get that Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, where Allah says, I am pleased with you, would you go back to the world? You say, no, I'm not going back to the world, to the Jahannam, to the hellfire. And those people will be crying. He will forget them. The people who are crying for him in the world after he has died, he will forget them and say, oh, Allah said, I am pleased with me. He's pleased with me. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, there's another verse of the Quran, that who are those people? What will be their deed that they performed in the world, that Allah Ta'ala will become pleased with them at death, in the grave, on the day of resurrection, bridge of Sirat, hereafter. What announcement is Allah making to them? Just one amal they did, one practice due to which Allah Ta'ala has given them the reward of His pleasure, the ultimate reward. And on one deed, Allah Ta'ala gave them His pleasure, that on every phase and part of the journey, Allah's pleased with them. If only we can appreciate that amal, that deed. If only we can understand the value of that deed, that what Allah Ta'ala has given to us, what ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given to us, what a great worship Allah Ta'ala has given to us. What is that? What is that deed? Salah, prayer, namaz. Salah, prayer, namaz. We don't value salah. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you reality. We don't know that how valuable is salah. That how salah will save us. How salah will take us to the heights in paradise. How salah will give us elevation. Allah will give us greatness through this great ibadah, worship of salah, prayer. If only we could value this and understand this. If only we could value this and understand this. That Allah Ta'ala has announced, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that I'm going to call out the glad tidings, good news to the people. For what? Due to their salah. The salah will elevate them. That's why you're sitting here. Such a great practice, salah. Prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah says that who will be these mu'min? Tahqeeq. Who will be those individuals that Allah Ta'ala will announce about them? It will be those people who their salah, their prayer, they decorated it beautifully, beautifully. They made their salah beautiful and elevated. خاشعون. Haseen and beautiful they will make their prayer. This is such an ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Salah, prayer, the namaz, that as much as you want, you can decorate and elevate and make your salah beautiful. Not you come, you do wudu quickly, stand, Allahu Akbar, pray quickly and you go. That's fine. Salah has been done. You have practically observed salah. That is one salah. Then, but Allah says that your namaz, your salah should increase, elevate, and become so beautiful that salah Allah Ta'ala is called in the Quran what? خشوع خاشعون صلاتهم خاشعون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون خشية. Those people who made their salah beautiful, beautiful, great, great, it reached to that station, their salah, to khashi'un, khushu. That when your salah reaches to that level, Allah Ta'ala says, that salah I accept. Then in response to that prayer, Allah says, on every station, phase of the life, the journey, and the hereafter, I will give you the good news. Now it's our choice how we pray this salah. It's our choice. We can pray as we want. There's a house. You buy a house. And you put a for sale sign on the top of the house. Will it sell? It will sell. Of course it will sell. Everything sells for a price. Something will sell for 5,000. If you paint it a little bit, 7,000 it will sell for. If you decorate it, if you cut the grass in the garden and make it nice and good looking, 10,000 it will sell for. Same house. The same as the property people, the real estate developers, they go in, they paint the window frames, they change the windows, they decorate the houses. Oh, this is a nice house. After 3 months, all of the effect of the paint is gone. But 10,000? Okay, I'll give 10,000. Good condition. And 3,000, where did it get to? 5,000, it gets to what? 10,000 value. Why? Because you decorate the house and make it look better. In the same way, salah is in the same condition. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given us this ibadah, salah. This is salah. Take it, Allah says. Take it, grab it with your hands and decorate it, elevate it, make it beautiful. Beautify your salah. You can beautify it. Make it haseen, good looking. The more you make your salah good looking and presentable, the more you will get from your salah. Your station, your rank, status will become better. One salah. Look, Allah Ta'ala, where does Allah Ta'ala start from? Pay attention. Allah Ta'ala makes everything clear. Allah Ta'ala says, you are standing there. Isn't it? You're standing there. That's it. You're standing. Then you start praying. And you start praising Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I love those who praise me. Then Allah Ta'ala says that they bow to me. So you praise Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, you're standing. You're praising Allah, nothing else. Allah says, I liked your praising of me. This is a normal condition. So Allah says, bow down now. With everyone it's the same. So he comes to that point, he bows down. Then when he does tasbih of Allah, he does the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala loves that action. Allah says, don't bow down now. Because first you stood, then you bowed. Then you did my tasbih. You praised me. Then Allah says, now stand back in. And then Allah says, when you do my tasbih, when you stand, Allah says, now come down in humility. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala makes him so beloved. Allah says, now drop into prostration and see me. Do my ziyarah. Aha. Allah Ta'ala says that salah takes you to the highest level. Slowly, 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 it takes you to the highest level. This is salah. This is prayer. And this thing, the more you beautify your salah, the more you make it nice. Because remember, salah is mirajul mu'mineen. It is the miraj, the journey of the believer to see Allah. So Allah says that this salah, you are getting everything. All of the success is from salah. You will save yourself from the painful death due to your salah. You will save yourself from the punishment of the grave due to your salah. On the day of resurrection, you'll get a high status due to your salah, your prayer. On every condition and phase of the journey. And if you go into paradise, it will be due to your salah. The higher is the grade of your salah, the higher the rank and the level of Jannah, paradise you will have. So should we not try to make our salah good? Shouldn't we? So not just, oh, I've prayed. No, you shouldn't do it like that. Not in this way. The people, it's not about just praying salah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala makes you pray salah. And yes, that you can say, oh, I've prayed salah. I've just read salah. Read salah? What kind of arrow have you struck on the target? Is this what salah is for? What have you achieved? What have you performed? What have you done? What kind of salah have you prayed? What have you really done? Has Allah Ta'ala says that, is this some sort of target that you're hitting a target? Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance. Allah says, decorate it. Make it sparkle, your salah. Make it sparkle. So what is it that can sparkle and make our salah good? Khushu. Focus. Concentration. We need to take our salah to the level of khushu. Concentration. Focus. Attention. Allah has given us such a great wealth and we keep on rejecting it. Throwing it to the side? Let it wither away? No, it's so sad if we do that. Come, oh, quickly do wudu, pray up and down. Oh, I've prayed, I've gone, finished, I've read salah. Is this salah? What have you done in that salah? What were the actions you did? The sujood, the prostration, the ruku? What did you recite? The meaning of the words? What did you do? So what is khushu? What is concentration? Let's have a look here. That what maqam? How do we attain this station? What is khushu? Focus, concentration. Think for a moment. Think. How do we attain khashun? Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hakimul Ummat, the physician of the Ummah, the nation of the believers, has stated about khushu, khashi'un. He commentated and explained, do we not want to attain khushu, focus? Do you want focus and concentration in your salah? Then understand the praise of this, definition of this, so we can pray like this. So salah, prayer is the basis of success in this world and hereafter. We don't have to do anything else. If we correct and align our salah in the right way, we will attain success. We don't need nothing else, nothing. Just we have salah. Allah has given us one duty that somehow, in some way or other, when you come and drop into sajda prostration, that your sujood is on the higher class, the best way, the best manner. We need to learn how to do sajda prostrate to Allah with full consciousness and awareness of Allah. Praise be to Allah. Our life will be made and we will have crossed the peaks. We will have ascended the peaks and crossed them. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about any other form of worship. Just one ibadah. And what is that? Salah. Namaz. Prayer. Prayer is the great, great action. Don't think it is useless. Don't reject it. Don't knock it into touch. Khushu. concentration. We have to get to that maqam. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَا. We want to see this. Allah Ta'ala says, I want the Rabb, the Lord that Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah says that I want you to be deserved of this reward. Everything you get from striving and trying. So will you not get khushu? If you make effort in the world, you make work, you work hard, you struggle when you feel like you go and get this item, you go and buy that item, you work hard for other things, for comforts and luxuries. So are we that sad? Are we that useless that Allah has given a great reward for the focus and attention in salah in all stages of life and the hereafter, and we don't want to work hard to attain the khushu? So look how sad this point is. Make a promise today, a firm resolve today, that this is the objective of our life, that we make our salah on the highest level, full of focus, concentration, attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consciousness. Let's correct our salah. Let's make this a mission in life. So what's the first thing that will come, brothers? What's the first thing that will be asked? Whose salah is good, then he has succeeded, Allah Ta'ala says. He has succeeded. He's ascended the mountains. What is khushu? So how do I get concentration in salah? Focus and attention. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi commentated. He described, he defined the khushu, the salah with khushu is the heart that is content and pure at the time of prayer. So how do you do this? That when you are praying and standing in salah, your heart should be so pure and empty of bad things. And so it should be immersed. You understand? Immersed, drowned, busy, occupied, detached from the sins, detached from any other thoughts. It should be totally busy, occupied, and immersed and drowned in who? The thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is khushu. This is the concentration of salah that we should have. Our heart should be full of contentment, satisfied. Why do I use this word of satisfied and content? Do you understand? Because the opposition to this is a person who is worried and distressed. So either you'll be worried and distressed or you'll be satisfied and content. So what is a salah with contentment and satisfaction? I'll make you an easier description of tafsir. That our heart... Why is our heart distressed? When we start thinking, we get distressed. This in the world, other issues. Thoughts make us distressed. And when thoughts come, what happens? A person, he's distressed when he's got anxiety and worries. But if you don't have those thoughts, then you are content. And when you are worried and anxiety and distressed and stressed, doctors give you tranquilizers and antidepressants and make you fall asleep. But when you are awake and alert and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't need these things. So sukoon, satisfaction comes, or distress comes, worries come. So Allah Ta'ala says, in that heart where there is satisfaction, where there's contentment, where there's peace, then your salah will elevate to the highest level. So what do we need? That when we stand to pray salah, in our heart should be no wasawis, no whispering, no thoughts, nothing. Nothing. This is the first condition of khushu. The first khushu. So do we want focus and attention on a salah? That our salah, within our salah, there should be no other thought. And there are two types of thoughts. Remember this. One is the thought which is with proper thinking and focus. And one is the thoughts without proper reality and non-reality. So you're standing after salah. I want to go and speak to this person. I have to run my shop. Then I want to teach in a madrasa. I'll open up this business. I'm going to make this as a career. I need to speak to these people. So we are purposely bringing those thoughts into our head, because we want to think our mind's not attentive paying attention to salah. But then there are other thoughts that are there in reality, and we're worried about those things. You don't want to think about those things. You don't even feel like, but automatically they're coming into our minds and hearts. So that is something that's not in your control. The words that are coming automatically into your mind. So there are two types of thoughts. One is what's in your control. One is not in your control. And when you're in khushu, total satisfaction, peace and focus, then both thoughts should not come into your mind during salah. So one are the thoughts that are in your control, where you're thinking about your work, family, issues, and the other are the thoughts that are not controllable, that come into your mind. But we can take them both out of our mind and out of our heart, so that our salah is full of khushu and khashi'un. Allah Ta'ala makes us. Is this easy? Obviously it's hard. It's difficult. If this door is closed and I say get out, will it be easy? It'll be hard, because the door is shut. But when you see that there's a gap, you will come out of the room. So is it easy or hard? It's hard, because there's no solution. And if we get the solution, what will happen? It'll become easy. So shall I make it easier for you to know the commentary of this explanation? Will you all listen to what I'm going to say? Will you all fulfill and implement? Will you pray the salah of khushu? Raise your hands. MashaAllah. Now from today, our salah has been made. So Allah Ta'ala says, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi commentated, said the meaning of khushu, the prayer with concentration, focus and attention, is that your heart becomes totally pure and clean and empty, that you have no thoughts when you're standing to pray. And secondly is that all the parts of our body, our hands, our fingers, the limbs, they should all be sakin. They should all be sakin. totally, when you stand Allahu Akbar, you raise your hands, then it is Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. When your hand comes up, you're shunning the world and thoughts according to the sunnah. When your hand comes up according to the sunnah, it comes up here, or comes up here, or comes up here. Oh, this is another masala that I don't want to go into the people who follow the masala, but I'm just saying that whenever you, if you're not following the imam and you just put your hands here or this here or there, no, you need to have guidance. The best way, according to the sunnah, I'm not teaching you salah, I'm just speaking generally, that when your hands, put them up, raise them, hold your hands, that these three fingers should be here, and then you raise your hand, Allahu Akbar, then you put your hands together, and the three fingers, middle ones on your wrist, and your hands are folded and below the navel, and subhanAllah, when you follow the sunnah, the difference in your salah will be like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi alayhi, said that if you were to realize that how to sit in the attahiyat position, how to sit in prayer, how to stand for prayer, how to do the different postures in prayer, what is the tariq of the sunnah, that your fingers, for example, they should be, the tips of your fingers should be behind the tip of your knee, and your hand should be clasped like this on your thigh, on the tip of your knee. And if you follow the sunnah and pray salah, Mujaddad al-Aftani said, if only that light I'm seeing now, if you saw that light, you will realize the reward of prayer in the way of the sunnah. So Hazrat said that all the limbs of your body, beware, beware. The limbs of your body should be immersed, just like your heart should be immersed in the way of the sunnah. That when Allah Ta'ala tells us, what is the meaning when after we say Allahu Akbar, what is Allahu Akbar? The initial part, we're saying Allahu Akbar like this, someone saying like this, someone's not paying attention, someone saying it to here. No, takbir-e-aula, that you should bring the hands up, and the hands should be facing the Kaaba, and you say Allahu Akbar, bring the hands up to the ears. And this is the Hanafi tariqah that I've learned from the pious predecessors. So these are not small things. If you want khushu in your salah, you want attention, you want focus, you want purity in your salah, then you have to be careful of these things. Don't think prayer is the right of your account, is the right that you deserve free of charge. This is the haq that you have to take to Allah and present to Allah. And Allah says, when you pray, you should be contemplating that you are seeing me at that time. If you can't feel that, then at least feel that I am watching you. Don't think salah is some insignificant deed, some waste of time, ibadah. The salah is the head of all the forms of worship. Don't reject this. Oh, I'm going to pray salah, put my hands as I want. Oh, the prayer is accepted. Oh, my salah is accepted. I've gone to pray. Don't tell me how to pray. Even if a child is praying, then there should be so much awareness. You should feel sad that the child is not praying salah correctly. Then he should have a design in his heart as well. Like a person's eating, for example, he's eating, a child is eating and not eating correctly. When you feel pain, that you want the person to eat correctly, you're sitting on the dasturkhan, the child sitting is putting his hand there, and he's putting his hand on his face, wiping his lips. Will you not feel the pain? Because he's not eating correctly with the adab. So will you not feel sadness and loss when the child is not reading salah, praying salah correctly? In the depths of the heart, we don't have these sensitivities, we don't have these feelings, we don't have this condition that this ibadah is so great, that this suddenly came into my mind today, into my heart, that I need to correct my salah. We don't consider this as a brother. We don't even value this. We don't appreciate this. Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive us, give us bakshish on every phase and journey and stage in this world and the hereafter. The totality of success in the world and the hereafter is based on salah. Where's the masjid today? Where are the azans, the Kaaba, Masjid Nabwi, the illumination, the glow? Can you see these things? In Tarawih, where they've gone, the total contentment. We think that the life of the mu'min is just, we physically pass through the acts and we don't have salah. What will happen? All of the loss will come into life, tell me. All of the loss will come. Where will the illumination come from? From one salah, we see the illumination in the world. Allah Ta'ala makes somebody imam. Allah Ta'ala makes somebody a musalli, a follower, a muazzin, calling to the prayer. Allah says, due to the barakah, the blessings of one salah, Allah Ta'ala makes the masjids come into being. People become muazzin, someone becomes imam, somebody becomes imam of Kaaba. Where did imam become Kaaba from? Where did the imam of the Kaaba come from if there was no salah? Who would ask for Shuraim and the others, all the sheikhs and the scholars? Who would be the khatib and who would be the imam? And how would they read Quran? And what would happen in that time? What would be the loss at that time? If there was no salah being prayed in the world, there'd be total loss and destruction in the world. May we be sacrificed on our salah. Beautiful. Beautiful this action. So do you understand what is salah? Allah Ta'ala says, I put beauty in salah. When the muazzin said, as-salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, come towards salah, come towards salah. The person who feels the taste and has love for this, I swear by Allah, then those bodies start shaking. I swear by Allah. I saw my sheikh. I saw my teacher. Shaykh, I sat amongst him in his company. I learnt and I saw these things. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, Azan hasn't started. Allah, we should have seen the condition of Hazrat. He's waiting. His face is red. He's waiting, immersed in Salah. And when Azan was called, then what great rewards about to come from Allah. The whole of Islam, the deen of Islam and the Muslims in the world, the glowing light of the Ummah and Islam is Salah. SubhanAllah, a person gets up in the morning, he does wudu, he runs to the masjid, will sit down, will pray Salah, will stand in the saf, and the Imam will come and they will say the takbir, and after that the Qurans will open, then the dhikr will be done. Why is this illumination and glow and sparkle in the world today? What is making the world continue the way it is? The beauty of Salah. The barakah of Salah, the blessings of Salah. And we break the blessings. We disfigure the Salah. We spoil the Salah. Oh, I'll pray the way I want to. Please just leave me to my being. How can you carry on praying like this? How can you? Will the Salah just become like this? There's no basis of our Salah. There's no definition of how to pray Salah. There's no criteria of how to pray Salah. Look at the zulm we're doing. We're unjust. We've become old. And we don't even know how to pray Salah. We've never thought. We've never considered. SubhanAllah. And the Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. What a beautiful verse. So today when I read this verse, when I read this juz today, this sapara, and I stopped at the first verse, and that feeling today I'm now presenting and discussing with you. Today, now. About Salah. You know, like where the Salah, where the juz starts, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. خَشِيَة. What is our Salah? I'm thinking that what Salah am I praying? Today, have I ever compared, analyzed, and looked at my Salah? Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullah said two things we should have. That Salah in which there's khashi'een, khashi'ah, there will be no thoughts. So we have thoughts, controllable and controllable. Do we think or not in our Salah? Fighting, quarreling, disputes, oppression, all the revenge plans we make in our prayer, all the bad actions we plan in our prayer. Anger comes in our prayer. Shahwat, passions and desires come in our Salah. You understand shahwat? The base desires, dirty thoughts, bad thoughts. A person gets immersed in those thoughts during Salah. I tell you, I've seen people who say that they've had this position and problem. So, khayalat, thoughts. So, bad thoughts. Number two, that we cannot control our Salah. We don't know how to physically pray. O servants of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has imprisoned us. Allah says we are imprisoned in what? Within the boundaries of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala gives the order in the Quran, and the practice is in accordance to the Sunnah. Do you understand? So first thing is extract all the thoughts out, eliminate them out of the mind and the heart. Secondly, pray your Salah according to the Sunnah. And how do we pray Salah according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Allah says bow like this, stand like this, put your hands there. Yes, if there's a difference of opinion among the four imams of fiqh, that's fine, because they had difference of opinion, which is a rahmah and mercy to the ummah. But follow one of the imams and your salah is correct. But one person prays here, then he stands here, then he puts his hands up here, then he puts his hands there. He's not praying his salah in accordance to one of the four schools of fiqh. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw an individual and he was playing with his beard. Many of us do this. We play with our beards. It becomes a habit, and you put your hand into the beard. And then sometimes we put the beard in the mouth. Astaghfirullah, such a bad habit. And shaitan, he makes us do this. Because shaitan, when you leave the sunnah, who comes? Shaitan, he makes you put your fingers into the beard. You put the beard into your mouth and you start sucking it and biting it. Is this the adab? The menace? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw this, he said that if in his heart there was khushu, then he would never do this action that he is doing now. Yani, and the person who is khushu, satisfaction in his heart, then he will never do this action. A person, if he has khushu and focus and peace, he can pray Salah correctly and nicely. We're happy, we've come back, we prayed Salah and read it. Oh, I've read Salah, but still we won't say that Salah is a great adab and a great action. And however you read it, it's still a great action. Don't think after what I've said today that, oh, my Salah is not good, I'll leave it. No. If you give me a pen, I'm not going to throw in the bin, am I? I might put it here on the desk or in my pocket or somewhere. At least you gave me the pen. I'm not going to reject it. So the prayer you've read and prayed, you've prayed it, haven't you? That's fine. So never leave prayer. But what is the hal of your prayer? What is the condition of your prayer? What is the status of your prayer? So we say, my Salah is not good. So a person who prays or does any other action against the Sunnah, and if he prays in such a way that is not in conformity with one of the four imams of fiqh jurisprudence, then he is playing with his Salah. If it's not proven from one of the schools of thought, from one of the four schools of fiqh, put your hands here, raise your hands like this, bow like this, prostrate like this, then your Salah is not correct, because you have not established your prayer on the first step even. So first is no thoughts in your heart and mind. Secondly, pray your salah physically according to the sunnah, according to the ways laid down by the imams and the hadith and the sunnah. So remember this. And another point, that for example, Allah Ta'ala says that do it like this or don't use both hands, or Mawlana Sahib, he will tell you the masail and he will tell you the fiqh. I now come towards tazkiyah, rectification, purification. So learn salah. Learn salah. What is salah? How to pray salah? So there are two things. Two things. The people who are against khushu. Yes, so if you have thoughts, you won't have khushu in your salah. If you don't pray salah according to sunnah, then you won't have focus and attention, purity in salah. And then your salah will give you nothing in thereafter. Some people will wake up blind because their salah did not help them. Is this the point of fikr? Should we not worry? So don't think that you are a namazi, a musalli, and you've prayed. No, pray salah correctly. Establish the salah correctly on these points, these foundation points. Number one, no thoughts in the heart and mind. Number two, pray according to the sunnah physically. Third, you say, oh Shaykh, you said I need to pray salah with khushu and contentment and satisfaction, purity. Shall I tell you how to bring this khushu now into your life, into your salah? Shall I tell you? £5 please take out of your pockets. Aha, what's a great secret I'm going to tell you. Khushu, how will it will come into your salah? Focus attention to Allah. I'm giving you the greatest treasure. Whose hukum is this? The Quran. What? Bring khushu. Where will you get it from? According to the sunnah of Rasulullah, you'll get khushu. So let's go now into the court of the Prophet Muhammad. The old Prophet of Allah, please advise us, how will we get khushu and concentration? We want to elevate our salah, make it better, so peace and satisfaction comes. Please tell us, advise us, how will khushu come? Four companions. They present different rawayat, different narrations on this topic. Beautiful companions. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, and fourth, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with them all. Four companions narrate four different hadith from four different chains. What a great hadith this will be. How to attain khushu, peace, satisfaction, contentment, and total concentration and focus in your salah. What a great hadith this must be. Let's pay attention. Let's understand today. Let's learn. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that, oh my followers, when you pray salah, when you pray namaz, when you establish your salah and stand to pray, then be careful of one thing. Make something. Start practicing. Do one thing. What is that? With a total honest heart, you must think. And this is the reality. There's nothing far from reality in this. This is totally haq and truth that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed to us. That before every prayer, you must think in a nice way, solidly, that this is my last prayer. That's it. You have to do this. That's it. Who's telling us this? The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's teaching us this. What? Tell me, how many people think this before prayer? Not even -1%. Forget about 1%, not even -1. Not even the greatest of the knowledgeable people does this. Why? Why don't we think this? Because I've never thought this. I've never put my feet towards this. I've never set force on this thought process. That, oh, I've come, I've prayed salah. We read long, long recitation. Talawat of Quran, recitation, verses. And we'll do long recitation in Qiyam, long ruku, long bowing, long sujood. We'll pray in Medina. But we will never think before our salah that maybe this is my last prayer. So never will you attain the khushu, because the Prophet Muhammad said that my sunnah is that whenever I pray, I consider that this is my last, and you need to do the same. The more you have this feeling, the stronger you have this feeling before you start your salah, that this is, could be my last prayer, that is when you will get khushu in your salah. That's it. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to attempt and strive for. Subhanallah, I have to pray like that person who says that this salah could possibly be my last salah and there will be no salah after this. And this is reality. Is there any guarantee that after this you will stay alive? Many people I've seen, once they went and I never saw them in that salah after that, they became ill, they had a heart attack. Many people are like this. Many. But we have not allowed this feeling to overwhelm us. We have not let this emotion to come to us that this is my final prayer, that this is my last coming to the masjid, that this is my last program of my life. And when this thing is solid in your life, that this is possibly my last and final prayer, then what will be the feeling of that person? He will see those two things, how they come into his life. The how the Prophet ﷺ told us this, that if this solidly becomes my emotion, that this is possibly my last prayer, for example, nobody knows when they're going to die. There's no guarantee, is there? That how do we bring this feeling to our life? But sometimes it happens that 100% it happens. A person knows, he has yaqeen and certainty that I'm about to pass away. And who are those people? For example, a person who's about to be hanged. He's been given the death penalty. 1 hour left, 2 hour left, 1 hour left, 30 minutes left, time is clocking, ticking, clock is ticking, 5 minutes left, the noose is put around his neck, then totally he has then certainty he's about to die, now I'm definitely going to die. And if he's told, or she is told, 3 minutes before that you have to pray salah, he says, yes, I want to pray salah, then tell me what will be the state of that salah of that person. My master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is talking about this salah, the example I've given you. Imagine you know 3 minutes before that you're going to be hanged. The noose is in front of you, the guillotine's there, you're about to be hanged, and you're walking up to the noose, and then you say, 2 minutes are left, can I pray rakatain, 2 rak'ah? And you pray, do you want to pray? And he says, yes, I want to pray. Tell me, that individual who then prays those 2 rak'ah, what will be his emotion and great concentration and focus in that salah? Will he be thinking in that salah about dunya? Will he have lust and passion and shahwat in that salah? Will he be thinking about his shop and business and sleep and money and son and daughter and wife and father and house and property and dawlat and health and ill health or loss in the world? Nothing will be close to his heart or thoughts. -1% he will think about the world. All he will think at that time is maut, death, and the hereafter. And when this condition overwhelms us, our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when this feeling overwhelms us, and this feeling comes to people, the awliya Allah teach us this, and this emotion overwhelms us, when they Allahu Akbar say, when they say Allahu Akbar, then they know that they are shunning the world behind them, the noose of the death is in front of them, and their salah becomes so great that apart from the focus on Allah, they have nothing else in their prayer at that time. They're concentrating to the highest level. When your hands raise and you fold to pray salah, then they have come into being, and that person starts to pray. He is crying, tears, Allah, I'm about to die. I could die after this prayer. You're the one who will forgive, Allah. You're the one who will forgive. And when he's reading the du'as in prayer and the talawat, the recitation of the Quran in his salah, I swear by Allah, he will not have that taste before. He will not have known that what is sleeping. And his body is trembling, and what the hal of that person is at that time in salah. And that feeling, my Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every mu'min in every salah, if you don't have this feeling and emotion, then such a salah will not stop you from fahash and immodesty. It will rather even take you far from Allah. And the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this in hadith, and this is the condition of our salah today. We don't have the focus, concentration and attention, and we consider that we will win and we will succeed. And today Allah ta'ala says in the Quran about fahish, immodesty. Allahu Akbar. What is that verse? The salah. What is the function of salah? It's to stop us, prevent us, and it will abruptly stop us from going towards fahisha, immodesty. And today, is that what is the condition of a salah? Today, after our salah finishes, we go to so many immodest acts. After finishing salah, the games that are played, the conditions that come upon people, quickly, quickly, let's finish prayer. The people who start praying quickly, then they pray quickly, quickly, because they want to go towards big sins and see the sins they commit after praying. So the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his words are haq, truth. He said that if you don't have focus and attention, forget about the salah stopping you from taking you from towards sins. It will take you far from Allah. And if in this condition, that the condition I prescribed, said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the condition that you should pray, if you pray 2 rak'ah salah in that condition, that our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the effect of those 2 rak'ah salah will be such that all of your previous sins will be forgiven. This is the value of 2 rak'ah salah. And our life, how many rak'ah have we prayed and will we pray, and what would be our maqam today? If 2 rak'ah salah is so great, it forgives all the previous sins, then what about when you pray 17 rak'ahs of Isha? What will be your great iman? You'll become a great mu'min. 1 rak'ah of salah makes you a great mu'min in this world and the hereafter and in paradise in Jannah. I swear by Allah, he will be sleeping and he will see Jannah in his dreams and the hoors and the maidens. And today we see the scorpions, we see the animals and the insects, because we have no concentration in our salah. We have no focus, we have no attention, we have wasawat, we have waswasa, we have whispering of shaitan and our nafs in our salah. Tell me. So let's start now. This method, when we start prayer, how do we start with the prayer? We stop the thoughts. Remember the points I said? First, we stop the thoughts. Controllable and uncontrollable. So two things we have to do before we pray to get to this position. Before we get to this position. First, do two things. What are those two things? Number one, taharat. Purity. Tahara. It has been stated that the person whose cleanliness and purity is not correct, he's not careful, then he will get the worst level of whispering in the ears and the mind during his salah. So be very careful and cautious and purify yourself before the prayer. Clean and wash and purify yourself properly. Most the second thing that creates the thoughts And feelings in salah, controllable, uncontrollable, that take us away from Allah, is that the salah is defective. The salah is defective. Sorry, the wudu is defective. You're sitting down, doing wudu, you're chatting, laughing, joking. Never do this. Wudu is a great, great ibadah worship. Ablution is a great, great worship. That with every drop of water in wudu, your sins are dropping and eliminated. When a person does wudu and reads the dua after wudu, then the 8 doors of Jannah open after his wudu for him. And my friends, our wudu is not like this. In the house, in our homes, we make big things for our homes, decoration, put this sink and this pedestal and these tiles. O servants of Allah, our home should be such that we should do fikr first. Then let's put such a tap where I can sit down, my face is towards Kaaba, and I am doing wudu there. Raise your hands if you've got a tap like this. How many people have made the wudu area in their homes? And we fuss, oh, I want these tiles, I want this there. So don't we have the feeling of regard that in my bathroom that I have nice tiles and the shower and there's a sink. In the same bathroom, put such a tap, lower level, where you can put the stool and sit down on the stool and you sit down and do wudu. And you put shower heads and top shower fittings and nice tiles and ornaments. So why don't you have a bath in the same way that you put a tap at a lower level near the ground and you put a stool that you sit on and have a bath? If you sit down and do a wudu and you put your miswak there, and in front of you, your face is facing towards the Kaaba and you're doing wudu at the time, and after that when you do wudu and you're purified, then tell me how different will be your salah at that time. To the extent that yes, you got a sink, you stand and you do wudu, this is common. Yes, by force this happens, what difference does it make? But that's something that we maybe sometimes cannot help, because the bath is designed like that when we get it. But we can design it the way we want. My friends, if we don't do wudu correctly, we're losing half the benefit of salah. Rather, some pious treatises say that on every action there is a dua. On every action there's a prayer. And such beautiful, beautiful prayers that I say that after doing wudu, there's no requirement of a person that will not be fulfilled. One dua while we wash the hands, I swear by Allah, it is such a dua, such a great dua prayer, that person, whatever rewards he gets after that, don't ask. And that is the time of acceptance. That is the time of acceptance. So what beautiful, beautiful treasures. We're wasting our time. Wasting our time like monkeys. We're praying, we're doing wudu, we're sitting, doing it quickly, not according to the sunnah, according to the way we want. Someone's doing wudu in a sink, someone's speaking, someone's chatting, miswak, and we don't even know how to do miswak. Yes, should we do it first on the top, to the right, to the left, up, down? Where should we put our hand? How should we stand it up with the fingers? There are so many masail of miswak that we should think, how should I stand my miswak? If I pray like this, how many diseases are eliminated? If I lie down the miswak, then many diseases will be eliminated from the miswak. It has been told to us that don't put miswak like this. Inshallah, I'll explain this, how you should use miswak, store miswak, carry miswak. But we think this is not deen. We think this is not Islam. What kind of deen are we following? This is deen. If we're saying this is not deen, then what is deen? This is the foundation of deen. Do you understand what I'm saying, how to pray? Shall we summarize? So let's start from today. And our salah will become great. That's the end of the story. So from today to the next salah, from this salah to the next salah, first check your tahara, purity of body. Then do wudu correctly according to the sunnah. Correct your sinks. Make wudu areas and try it. Spend 200-300 pounds and you get Jannah back, inshallah. Make a place where you can do wudu and put a stool on the ground. Sit down and do wudu with a low level tap. And don't say, oh, this is the mosque. Do it at home. And don't come to the masjids and do wudu. People that come, you know, you come and you open the tap, the hot water, you will have to give the accountancy for accounts for this wudu in the masjid that you are doing. This is Allah's house, Allah's tap, Allah's water, warm water. Why do you leave your bathroom at home? You don't do wudu at home, you come to the masjid to do wudu. Allah says, why are you using the energy and increasing the bill of the masjid? And you scream, the water's not hot, it's not warm, it's cold. The wudu area is made for a journeyman, a musafir. Yes, come to the masjid with the wudu. By chance, if you lose your wudu on the way, it's for those people, or someone's on a journey, the wudu is for those people. And you are doing wudu in Allah's house, you're wasting money, you're wasting the hot water, the warm water, you have no khawf, no fear. And then you ask the people, oh, the water's too hot. You complain and criticize. Will you give the answer of this water that you used on the Day of Judgment? Allah will say, you used so much energy of the masjid. You wasted the money of the masjid, the expense of the masjid for your wudu. Do wudu at home. Put a sink, 300, 400, 500, 600 pounds, a lower level sink, a lower level tap. put the stool on the ground. You've got a shower high up, then put one lower down. Sit there, do wudu 5 minutes before, or 1 hour before salah you should be preparing. 1 hour before, remember, salah you should prepare. Get up easily, have a miswak, learn how to do the miswak, the sunnah tariqah, do the dua, sit down, do wudu, come out, do the dua again after wudu. Allah Ta'ala will open the 8 doors of Jannah. After that, go to the next journey, go forth towards salah. And one niyyah should have that time. One intention, Allah, this is my final salah. Allah, I know that the angel of death is coming and there's such a short life left. Oh, I don't know anything else. Will you give me another chance or not? Will I be able to come? And totally make this intention, Allah, after this, I may not be able to be praying again. I may not have a prostration after this. Allah, did wudu, I've come to your salah, Allah, I may die. And Sayyid al-Mursani, Rasulullah ﷺ gave this cure to the ummah. He is giving us the prescription of how to attain khushu in the salah. Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullahi, said, he wrote in his kitab, that all I say is that this is my experience. And what is the condition? This is my experience, that you will experience that if you don't get khushu in your salah, then say Thanvi is nothing. What a guarantee. What a guarantee, because from behind he got the guarantee. He said, do this at least, move at least. Just 2 things you have to do. Purity of body, wudu should be correct. And after that, say loudly. Say loudly, have the thought contemplation that this is my last prayer because death is coming. Will we do this, brothers? After today, do these 2 things. Inshallah, inshallah, we will make our steps. And that is the salah we'll get. That when we are dying, the call will be announced. Allah will say, I am pleased with you. And you'll go into the grave. Allah will say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Oh, mu'minun, I am pleased with you. When you wake up in your grave, Allah will say, Oh, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Oh, mu'min, I am pleased with you. What a life. And if we waste it, we don't do nothing with it. What is the worth of a life when we don't prepare? My brothers, forget all the other words. First, let's correct our salah. Correct our salah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. And if I've said something wrong in my words, too much less, I've taken up your time. But very important topic it was. And I enjoyed it, that due to you, my salah will be improved. Recite Durood Sharif.